Today's message is called, Are You a Yielder or a Struggler? And I'll explain it. Are you a yielder? What's a yielder? Paul, what's somebody that yields? Gives away to something else. What's another definition? Anybody? Give in. Somebody who gives in. When you yield on the street and you're driving, for you drivers, you see a sign that says yield. What are you doing? You're letting somebody else go first. A pedestrian or a car, right? Hopefully you yield and not run over people, you know? But are you a yielder or a struggler? Amen? Tell the person next to you, pay attention, all right? Come on, tell them, pay attention. If you're not paying attention, I'm going to tell you to come up here with me and stand with me. All you're going to do is stand here next to me. And when I walk this way, you just have to, like, shadow me. Amen? Who wants to shadow me today? I know. That's good, bro. Yeah, well, he is too. He says we're wearing similar shirts. You know what? So, and this is going to be incorporated today. Like, I woke up today. I was really tired because I worked 2 days straight. I slept for like 2 hours. And so then I was looking for something to wear today, and then I picked the shirt, right? Or the shirt picked me. And it was really wrinkled. I mean, it's still wrinkled, but it was really wrinkled. And I said, man, I'm just going to wear it, and then I'm just going to incorporate why I didn't iron it into my message, like a lesson. But then I was like, no, I can't do that. You know, I got to just iron it. Stop being lazy. That was just a little side note. Let's go to our first message. George, thanks, bro. So in Galatians, Hebrews, the Bible says, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Say we also. Who's it talking about? Us, we. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's go back to the beginning. This is probably a scripture that you've read many times. Who's read the scripture before? All the time. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Just imagine this girl that was running and fell. She was surrounded by probably not great witnesses, because they're like, you know, it's easy for like people that don't work out and that don't go to the gym and say, man, she's so, like, I laughed when I first saw this, you know. I'm not a runner, you know, obviously I'm not a runner right now. But it's easy for me to criticize her and say, man, she was so dumb, she was up in the front. And then, like, I'm going to root for her, like, in 30 seconds because she's about to catch up. Does that make sense? But the Bible says that we, go back to the first portion of it, George. It says that, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we're not being surrounded by like loser witnesses. We have great witnesses that have came before us, that have walked the same things that you and I have walked, that have struggled the same things that you and I have struggled. Yet they ran the race with endurance and they finished the race. Now they're up in heaven, up in the stands, and they're like, yes, you can do it. In that moment where you're struggling, they're saying, yes, we're on your side. I've done it before. See, many people trip out. Like, I tripped out. I listened to the most awesome message a few weeks ago, and I'm going to share a little bit of what I heard. But people trip. Like, I used to trip out all the time. Like, Jesus, you don't understand my struggles. You don't know what it is to be married and to see another beautiful girl and check her out. You were never married, Jesus. Does that make sense? See, but the Bible says in I have it here somewhere. Go to the others. I think in the second to last scripture that I gave you. Just go to the next one and then I'll tell you yes, it's that one or no. See, it says, for all that is in the world. Actually, it's the other one, bro. The one before that. Can you start like in verse 12? Tell the person next to you, I think it was verse 12. See, then I'll wait for him to get there, but so many times I say, well, you don't understand how I feel, God. I used to say that until I heard this message. Because honestly, like, it took me a long time to realize, and I would always say, man, how does God understand? It says that the Bible says that that Jesus was tempted in all points, right? Are you there, bro, or no? Just give me 12 through like the, let me see 15. All right, go to 13. Okay, go to 14. We'll start at 4. Okay. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. See, that tripped me out for a long time. Like, wait. You haven't struggled through like what I have struggled with. Does that make sense? But then I was reading a verse in 1 John, and this is where God kind of slapped me in the face. And it was, and it says this, check this out. For all that is in the world, everything that's in this world, guys, is three things, three points. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you really think about it, every sin, every like detailed sin is inside of these three categories. The lust of the eyes, think about that. Checking out girls. The lust of the flesh, you actually acting it out. And the pride of life. Pride is the biggest sin, right? Jesus maybe didn't struggle with the details that I struggled with, but he struggled with the same. The Bible says in all points. It doesn't say in all details. Does that make sense? And God started slapping me around saying, listen, you might have not struggled with, maybe I didn't struggle with checking out people or with smoking weed or with doing all this other stuff. But have you struggled to go to the cross and get crucified and die for everybody's sins? You think that wasn't a point in his life where he was tempted to back out of? He was. Yet he endured the cross, despising the shame, amen? So you and I could walk in freedom, so you and I could walk without unrighteousness, amen? Tell the person next to you, you better be paying attention. See, I trip out because anytime I talk to old friends, and I wrote it down, they always talk about who I used to be. Does that make sense? And sometimes I contemplate on like the stuff that I used to do, and it's like fun to talk about, but then I don't associate myself with that person no more, like, because I don't live that life anymore. It was fun in the moment, but yet it wasn't fun. And then I hang out with them again, and then they talk about the same stuff. Like, there's nothing else that we could associate with but the bad stuff. So instead of them lifting me up, they bring me down. Because all we concentrate on is, oh, we used to get all drunk. Yeah, man, yeah, it was fun. Oh, we used to come home. Same crap over and over and over again. Some of you young people don't even have to go through that. See, we laugh and we remember all the crazy things we used to do. But the reason why I don't go back to that kind of world that I was living is because of the struggle that I have within me between good and evil. See, people see struggle as a bad thing, but if you're struggling, it's because you're deciding whether you're going to do good and evil. Does that make sense? There's a difference between yielding to that and struggling to that. I'd rather struggle than yield to evil. Are you a yielder or are you a struggler? Are you somebody that when your friend talks about that and says, hey man, remember when we used to go do this? Yeah, man. hey man, let's like go back to those memories this Saturday and just go out and just have a good time. Are you going to yield to that? Or is there going to be something inside of you that's going to struggle and say, should I do that? Or should I not do that? Well, if I go, then my wife and my kids are going to be left at home alone. Then I'm going to get drunk. And then I'm going to have to wake up to go to church on Sunday. Oh, do I want to go to church and lift up my hands and act all like everything's cool? See, when we come to Christ, guys, there has to be a picture. Just picture, I don't know, you guys are too young for this, but Paul remembers this, Ricky Lake and all these other stupid shows, right? And they had these episodes where it was like, your hair's so nice, I was just going to run my fingers through it. I just did it. And they have the before and afters. And it's like, they have these guests that come on and be like, oh yeah, when I was in high school, I used to be really fat. And everybody used to make fun of me. But I want to invite friends to the show that used to make fun of me. And I want them to see how I look now. And they're all like buff and stuff. And it's funny because they have like a picture of the old person, all nerdy. And then they open the screen and then he comes out. Everybody gets all crazy, right? And then the girls are like, oh my God, Joshua, so nice to see you. Well, not Joshua, but I just made that name up, right? Oh my God, Fito, it's so nice to see you. Oh, you look so hot. And then they'd be like, oh, would you date him? Oh yeah, I would date him. And then they say, Fito, would you go on a date with him? Well, remember all the times you used to make fun of me? I ain't going to go out with you. Look at you, you're ugly now. You know what I mean? This is stupid. But see, that's the thing with, there has to be, my friends have to see a before and after picture of me. Am I coming to church, but still doing all the same stupid things I was doing before, and I'm just adding Jesus into my life? Or am I really letting Jesus work something in my life, where my life looks completely different? Are you a yielder or are you a struggler? I don't even know why I said that name, too. You know, I do, because I was watching this video. I was showing Chanel, and it's like this, it's this cholo, but it's like a kind of like a parody, and he's like a cholo workout. You saw it? He's like, yeah, the cholo squats. He's like, you go like this, and you go like this, and then you squat, and they're like doing all this. Yeah, it's funny. You guys have to see it. So see, my friends that I used to hang out with, they have no struggles. You know why? Because they do what they want to do. They just yield. There's no struggle in their decisions because they just yield to what they want to do. That's a scary. I used to live as a Christian or as a wannabe Christian. I used to live that life where I used to just do what I wanted to do and I had no struggle within. That's a scary point to be at. Where you do things where you're sinning and you have no conviction of what you're doing, that's you're just so far away from God at that point. You're missing the mark. But like I said, I'm not saying this to be judgmental on my friends, because I'm not, because I was in that same position that they were. I'm just telling you guys, if you guys are struggling, it's a good thing, because you're struggling between good and evil. See, some people always see like, oh, yeah, I'm victorious in the name of Jesus. They come to church. They know the right things to say at the right time. But when they go home, there's no struggle. They just, Lord, I just yielded. I'm so sorry. Your grace is sufficient. Your life has to be, your daily life has to be a struggle until you overcome that struggle. See, if you go to the gym and you work out, you're going to struggle, right? You're going to struggle. If there's no resistance, there's no growth. There's no muscle growth. There has to be some kind of struggle when you go to the gym where you want to give up, where you want to waver. But think about it. You've gone to the gym before. You've been somewhere before where you're doing something. Me and Paul are the best examples of this. We always compete when we go to camp. And there's a crowd of great witnesses that make me do things that I would never, that I never thought I would do as a, you know what I mean? Like, you guys encourage me. You guys, there's something, I think out of 20 events, no, I'm just kidding. There is one event where Paul beat me straight up. Remember that when we ran and then we had to put the thing? Are you calling me fat, bro? Or? See, but we're surrounded. When you're surrounded by people and they're encouraging you, you do things that you probably would have never done. At the gym, you're like, oh, by yourself. It's easier to work out with a buddy than to work out by yourself. Because, come on, man, one more. Come on, you got it. And then you do that one more, and you're like, oh, I got one more. You know what I mean? Those are the best workouts that you do because you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Amen? Does it make sense? Are you guys learning something today? See, I learned this from one of my favorite speakers. It says that there's three aspects to sin. There's the penalty of sin, there's the practice of sin, and there's the presence of sin. The penalty of sin, don't worry about that one because Jesus already went to the cross and he took the penalty of sin. Amen? We'll skip the second one, but there's a presence of sin, and that one is going to be gone when Jesus comes back or when we die. But the second one, the practice of sin, that's up to us. That's where the struggle comes into play. You either have a choice to sin or not to sin. Amen? Come on, say, I don't want to yield to sin. See, whatever you yield yourself to the most, that is who you are going to become. Whatever you yield yourself to the most, that is who you will become. See, and we could talk about all the crazy topics, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, divorce, abortion, lying, all the stuff. There's no such thing as a little sin or a big sin. There's no such thing as a white lie or a black lie or a little lie or a big lie. There's no such thing as being a little pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. Amen? So whatever sin you yield yourself to, that's what's going to flourish in your body. That's what's going to flourish in the spiritual. Remember, there's somebody always cheering for you. There's somebody always up in the crowds in heaven cheering for you. Whether the apostles or the prophets, Jesus himself. Somebody's always cheering. Somebody's always on your side. Amen? See, look, I wrote, if you feel the fight and you become weary, you're only weary because you fought. I'm going to say that again. Pay attention. If you feel the fight, I don't know why I wrote if you feel the fight. If you fight and you're struggling and you become weary at one point, because that's what happens when you fight, right? That's what happens when you work out. That's what happens when you're trying to do some kind of workout. You get tired. The only reason why you became tired is because you were fighting. That's a good thing. And you only fought because you struggled, right? And you only struggled because you refused to give in to the lesser you. So you can be the greater you. Anytime you're struggling, anytime you're fighting, you're going to become tired. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He's a helper. He's the one that renews your strength like an eagle, right? I've had conversations with people where they say, well, it's easy for you to say because you have people that are always praying for you. It's easy for you to say because you have natural parents that are pastors and they're always praying for you. Let me tell you that, I mean, who can say that? Who here comes to church and your family don't come to church at all? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Oh, Shayla, it's easy for her to be Christian because if she's not feeling well, then her parents will lift her up because they're pastors. What about a person like Joel, who doesn't have that, or is now having that, but who didn't have that? If you don't have it in the natural, look for it in the spiritual. If you don't have it in the natural, look for it in the supernatural. But even if you feel like you're alone at sometimes, start looking on to Apostle Paul, who's cheering for you. Yeah. If you don't, you say, well, I don't have a mom. Start looking at the Esthers and the Noemis that are up in heaven that have already won the fight. Yeah. Read some stories of some of these women that struggled. I think it was Noemi, and then I think it was Esther or Ruth. Naomi and Ruth. Her husband dies, all her other sons die. And Noemi tells Ruth, right? Noemi tells Ruth? Naomi tells Ruth. Naomi's the mother-in-law. Hey, man, thank you. You were faithful to me. Thank you so much, but I have no more sons. I can't give you anybody else. Go back to your parents. And she says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to stay right here with you. If there's never been a faithful woman in your life, I'm talking to the guys and girls, and don't think of like your girlfriends, right? I'm talking about like no faithful women that you could look up to, like a mom, like a mother figure, because I don't mess people up too in their head. See, people always say, "Oh, they got daddy issues." No, they got mommy issues too, right? Look to these spiritual women. Timothy didn't have no spiritual father. But it says that his grandma and his mom were faithful women that prayed. Read it. Timothy had Paul. There's always somebody cheering for you guys. There's always somebody cheering for us. Amen? Go to Galatians. I'm almost done. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See, this girl that ran the race, she just didn't randomly like become fast all of a sudden. She trained and trained. I bet you, I don't know this girl, but for her to do that, she had to train a long time. She did not become weary in doing good and training and struggling. When you struggle, something good comes out of that. Remember what I'm saying, though, when you're struggling and you're choosing life instead of death. Because in the struggle, there's always both sides. You could struggle and yield. You could struggle and yield, right? Oh, I'm struggling with my marriage. Oh, Chanel. Oh, man, she always cooks my eggs sunny side up, and I don't like them like that. I like them, I like them more medium. Relax, right? She never does them over medium. She always does them over easy. Seriously, people come up with the stupidest things to divorce people. Oh, my gosh. I went out with the boys, and I had such a good time, and Chanel's so boring now. I'm using her as an example because she knows it's not happening. She cooks. She doesn't do over medium. She does scrambled. Chorizo and huevos, I like it. But what I'm saying is, I could be like, you know what? I'm going to struggle. I'm struggling with my thoughts. I'm struggling with my thoughts. I'm struggling with either divorcing or not divorcing. But I'm going to yield to divorce her because I'm so weak and I'm so tired of her. It's a joke, man. Relax. Oh, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to smoke pot, you know? Jesus didn't understand me. Oh, there was no pot back then when Jesus was walking around. Who knows? Maybe Peter was a little high when he chopped that guy's ear off. I don't know. It's a joke, Paul. It's a joke. He probably wasn't, but you know what I mean? Like, people will always come up with the dumbest excuses to do what they want to do. People will always find other justifications to yield to what they want to do. Yes or no? I'm struggling, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm struggling. Oh, my iPhone is dead right now. I can't. Oh, I'm struggling. Man, the apostles didn't have no iPhones. They didn't have ways to get around, like, ways as an application. To get to, like, Mesopotamia a faster way, you know what I mean? Like, they walked and whatever, walked for 6 months to get somewhere. Yeah, we struggle so much to, like, oh, my car broke down. Now I'm going to have to take the bus. Right? People have endured so much more with so much less. Let me say that again. People have endured so much more with so much less. And we live in an awesome country where we're blessed by God. And we're struggling. Struggle is good, guys. Struggle is a good thing. It sounds weird when you say it, you know? But it's a good thing when you're struggling and you're making the right choice in the end.
Right, that's right.
Because guess what? When you struggle and you don't give up, right? Because somebody's cheering you on, you might be sore the next day, but you're getting stronger. And then you struggle some more, and 6 months from now, you won't look like you looked 6 months ago. You could apply that in the natural, you could apply that in the spiritual, and you're going to have a good outcome in both worlds. Yeah, I had a crazy 2 months or month and a half. But I could have wavered and I could have yielded to my emotions. Honestly, I was telling Joe this, and this is the first I saw my wife too just recently. I could have been, I've never understood how people could be depressed or how people could deal with anxiety. I would always be so happy all the time, and I didn't worry about this other, like, I didn't let little things get to me. But honestly, the last month and a half, I was really struggling with what a depressed person feels like, because I really felt like depressed, and I felt anxious, where I didn't want to go out, and I want to just be in my room and not talk to my kids or not talk to my wife. Honestly, like, I feel so much more for people who struggle with depression and have to take medicine. I thank God that I didn't even have to get to that point where I couldn't get out of that place because of God's grace.